Today we have two scripture readings. The first one comes from Colossians, the third chapter, verse 12. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. And the second scripture comes from 1 Thessalonians, the fifth chapter, verse 14. Encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, I hope everyone is using their verses. The good news is you get to use it on yourself. If you're going throughout the day and you become a little bit critical of yourself, you catch yourself thinking negatively about yourself, that's the time to pull out the mercy card and say, wait a minute. Mercy be to me. Because, you know, we serve a gracious God, and He wants us to be merciful to ourselves. But as you go throughout the day, you go throughout the week, you'll run into other persons that you will need to use the card with. Now, I don't want you to pull the card out and go, mercy you to anybody, but I do want you to pull the card out in your mind and just think to yourself, this is my opportunity to begin to put into the practice some of the things we're learning in this series, the five marks of mercy. The first mark is that mercy forgives the fallen. You know, we all sin and fall short of the glory of God, and so we're to forgive others. We're to show mercy. And the reason that we can forgive is because we know how much we have been forgiven. And then the second mark, of course, was mercy helps the hurting. And we had such a good illustration of that in the parable of the Good Samaritan. Today we're going to take a look at the third mark. It's a challenging one, but it's a good one to work on. Mercy is patient with difficult people. Now, who might those difficult people be? Well, they could be almost anyone. It could be the person driving slow in the fast lane. It could be the person in front of you in the checkout line with 1,000 coupons. It could be almost anyone. Sometimes it's the person who's overly critical. Sometimes it's the person who says, well, that's enough of me talking about myself. What about you talk about me? It can be almost anyone. It can be a person who's not even aware that they're bugging you. Or it could be that they're intentionally trying to irritate you. But we all have difficult people in our life, and guess what? To somebody, I'm probably at times a difficult person myself. So, in the spiritual realm, we call these difficult people EGR peoples. Remember that, EGR. What does EGR stand for? It stands for Extra Grace Required. And, you know, it was kind of interesting when the small group movement came about and people were really going to small groups and getting involved in spiritual formation. One of the things they learned is that in every group of eight persons, there is at least one EGR person. You know? So I was in a small group one time and I thought, well, I'm going to kind of go around. We had eight people in the small group. I think I'm going to go around, see if I can locate the EGR person, because they're probably here. In a group of eight, one of those eight will be EGR. So I went, no, I think she's okay. I think he's okay. She's okay. He's okay. He's okay. He's okay. And she's okay. It looked like everybody was good to go. Yes, yes, yes. It's so much fun, you know, to realize it's okay. You know, it's okay. We're going to learn how to be patient with difficult people. And there are three reasons why. Because when we are patient with difficult people, we are like Christ. And you see, that's what we're about, being formed in the likeness of Christ, taking on the mind of Christ, forming those habits in our life that will make us Christ-like. And this is a good habit, and that is to be especially careful to be merciful and to be patient with difficult people. That's the first reason, because we become more like Christ. The second reason is this. Being patient with people, period, is necessary for Christian community. You know, we come together in community, and sometimes we're like porcupines. We're all glad to be here together. No one wants to be alone. But what happens when porcupines gather? Sometimes you get stuck. Well, you know, sometimes we stick one another. That's inevitable in community. But in Christian community, we express patience with difficult people for the good of the group, for the good of the community, for the building up of the body of Christ. We are patient with one another as Jesus has been patient with us. So it's important for becoming like Christ. It's important for the building up the body of Christ. And number three, it is our witness to the world that there's an alternative way to live in this world apart from hostility. That we can learn to forgive and be forgiven. We can learn to be patient. We all don't have to agree, but we can be patient enough that even when we don't agree, we can practice the things that make for peace. And there is no better practice for the making of peace than patience. And so those are our three motivations. Now, there are six things that we can do to help us grow in our patience towards difficult people. I'll run through the six real quick, and then I'll come back and sort of address each of these individually. But the first one is always look behind the behavior. That's the first one. Look behind the behavior. The second one is refuse to be offended. The third one is cut them some slack. The fourth one is refuse to gossip about them. Number five, refuse to play their game. And number six, so very important, always take the high road. So these are six little steps that help me and hopefully will help you. We'll take a quick look at some of these. The first one is look behind the behavior. The reason we need to look behind someone's behavior is because there's a reason that they act the way they do. We may learn what that is, or we may not learn what that is, but we need to look beyond the behavior and ask ourselves, what's going on in that person's life? What must it be like for them to act this way? You know, one of the things that I read about fathers fathering their children is that fathers should not just father the behavior of their children, the performance of their children, but a father should father the heart of their child. Because when a child does something, you may say, well, we don't do that, that's wrong. Well, that's not going to help the situation. We know there are certain things we don't do, and we express that, and we let our children know that. But more importantly, we go for the heart. Son, what was in your heart when you did that? What were you thinking? What were you feeling? And because so often, something is going on within them, and until we begin to parent or father the heart, the performance will not change. So that's very, very important, is look behind the behavior. You know, some people are hurtful, and you just wonder, why are they so hurtful? We believe that people are hurtful because they have been hurt themselves. And so every person has a story, and coming to understand their story may help explain why they act the way they do. But that's the first thing that we can do. The second thing is this, is refuse to be offended. Here's something very important. Our emotional and spiritual maturity is measured by how we treat someone who insults us. If we are so quickly offended, then we have not really grown in emotional and spiritual maturity. You see, the reason that we don't want to snap back at people, The reason we don't want to say, well, you offended me, and to immediately express an aggressive spirit, the reason we don't want to do that is because we lose control of our emotions. When we lose control of our emotions, we are allowing other people to have control over us. So it's the difference between reacting to something and responding to something. And so refuse to be offended. In other words, in your mind you're saying, you know, I don't agree with that. You know, I don't like that. But in your speech, be careful to choose the right words. And there's a scripture to go with that. Proverbs 21:23 in the Message translation. Watch your words and hold your tongue. You will save yourself a lot of grief. So work on that. And then, of course, the third thing is cut them some slack. Cut them some slack. Everybody has a tough day every once in a while. You know, all of us at one time or another have been either grumpy or goofy. You know, someone asked a woman, do you wake up grumpy? She says, no, I try to let him sleep. You know, we all need an allowance sometime for the things that happen. And, well, people are kind. They allow for us sometimes merely to have a bad day. And we should make allowances for others as well. So the scripture for that is Ephesians chapter 4. Of verse 2 in today's Living Bible, be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. And then James 2:13 in the Phillips translation, the person who makes no allowance for others will find none given for him or her. That's so true, isn't it? Sometimes we just need to cut some people some slack. The fourth one is, I left this one out, I think. Refuse to gossip. Did I say that one? I don't think I did. Yeah, okay, well, let me go back and do my homework again. Okay, the first one is look behind the behavior, refuse to be offended, cut them some slack, refuse to gossip, refuse to play their game, and always take the high road. So, the fourth one is refuse the gossip. Now, unfortunately, this can become a habit for just about all of us. You know, it's sort of like you heard the story of the prayer meeting where everybody was confessing their sins and going around. There was, you know, one fella hadn't confessed his sin yet. And they said, look, we've all confessed our sins. Now, you have to come clean and tell us what your sin is that you need to repent of. He said, well, I have the sin of gossip, and I can't wait to get out of this place. the Bible has some strong words about gossip. The Bible says God hates gossip. Matter of fact, he puts gossip up there with murder. Now, is that a mistake? Not really. Because you follow things to their logical conclusion down the road, and that's where things ultimately can lead to terrible, terrible consequences. I heard someone say this, well, what is gossip? That's a good question. Gossip is when you talk about someone with others who are neither part of the problem or part of the solution. So why are you talking about somebody with those persons? Now, I also heard someone say, there is a reason for us to gossip, because basically in its original meaning, gossip means God talk. And this is the good reason to talk about others, because we care about people. Have you heard about John? No, I haven't heard about John. And we tell about John and we listen about John because we care about John. What do we need to do for John? Does anybody know that this happened to John? Well, what happened to John? Well, we're sharing about John because we care about John. So, you know, that's what gossip is. It's the talking about persons in a way that's not going to do anyone any good. And what happens when it gets back to the person that you're gossiping about? It can ruin your friendship. It can ruin Christian community. The scripture says in Proverbs 26:20, without wood, a fire goes out. Without gossip, a quarrel dies down. You know, I heard, you know, my mother say so many times, and perhaps you've heard your parents say as well, if you can't say anything nice about a person, don't say anything nice at all. But I also heard someone go a step further than that. If you can't find anything nice to say about a person, pray to God that He will help show you something nice about that person. Because there is something good about every person, about every human being. And we need to become more skilled at looking for the good in others. Okay, then, the next one is refuse to gossip, and then refuse to play their game. I like this one. Refuse to play their game. You see, it always takes two to argue. What happens when one person says, you know, I'm just not going to play this game? It only takes one person to stop the argument. You know, some of us are quite proficient at pushing the buttons of other people. But what happens when you push somebody's button? Usually they'll turn around and push your button. And then this whole thing escalates, and then pretty soon there's some hurting buttons. You know what I'm talking about? But only one person has to say, I'm not going to push the button. And so the game of button pushing kind of stops. And again, there's a scripture, Proverbs 26:21. Just as charcoal and wood keep a fire going, a quarrelsome person keeps an argument going. So we can refuse to play the game. And then, of course, the last one, which is so very, very important, always take the high road. I think that we're most like Christ when we take the high road. You know, even on the cross, Jesus chose to pray, Lord, forgive them. To take the high road is to become like Christ. And the scripture tells us in Romans chapter 12, verse 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That's so very important. In Romans 15:7, as Christ has accepted you, so you accept others. Romans 12:14, don't ask God to curse another person. Ask God to bless another person. And when we are at odds with persons, it might be best if we were to change our prayer to become something like this. Lord, I pray for this person. I want you to bless this person. And to begin to think about other people like that, and your heart will be changed itself. To take the high road means that you will not have any regrets. I wish I hadn't said that. I wish I hadn't have done that. When you take the high road, you don't ever have to be afraid of what you've done or what you said. I heard a very public person say this, that on Twitter, on the internet, on emails, you're going to see a lot of things going on. And so often people are trolling other people just to get a reaction from them. And as I said before, you know, to respond is to give them control over you. But so often this person was being criticized on the internet and on these forums there. And finally one day he was addressed by a major media and he said, usually I will not comment or respond to anything that goes on in Twitter about me or anywhere else. But I needed to say something at this time because it was my opportunity to witness. And they asked him, well, what do you think about Reverend so-and-so who says this about your ministry? And he says, what Reverend so-and-so says about me does not affect the way that I feel about them. I highly respect him. I look up to him and I highly respect his ministry. But what he says does not affect of what I think about him. And so there was really a taking of the high road, and it is an example to the world again of a different way, an alternative way to live. The high road is hard, but Jesus took it. He went all the way the high road that took him up a hill where he bore a cross. But because he took the high road, we're all the beneficiaries of what he did for us in expressing God's love and forgiveness and patience and long-suffering. So here's the application. You know, I hope if you don't have a mercy card yet, you will get one. On one side, just simply write, "Mercy me." On the other side, "Mercy you." As you go throughout your day, as you go throughout the week, learn how to give yourself mercy, and then think about how you need to give other persons mercy. And perhaps this week you'll have an opportunity to use this card not only on behalf of yourself, but for someone else who may be difficult to get along with. And you can think of those six steps. As you go throughout this particular week, begin to pray about persons. Begin to lift them up to the Lord. And most of all, remember God's patience with you. When I remember the patience that my own mother and father had with me during those times when I was difficult, it makes me realize, well, how hard it must really be to be a parent. And there's a lot of parents out there. And, you know, as much as our parents love us, God loves us even more. And God has gone to the utmost to have patience with all of us. And so again, this is an opportunity for us to grow in the virtue of patience. For our invitation today, Polly and I would be glad to pray with you about anything. We rejoice in rejoicing with the things that you rejoice about. We also are privileged to be able to pray with you about the things you're concerned about. Let us stand.